Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of CMC Radio. I'm your host, Rob May. Hope everybody's having a good week so far, and we are officially at the weekend. Well, for most people, I hope, at least. It's 4:30 here on the East Coast in New York, and very excited to have on the show with me today Barbara Pyram-Smith, and I believe she's on the line right now. Barbara, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rob. I'm glad to be here.
All right. Well, it's great to have you on. And I know for you, now you're in Texas, is that right?
That's correct. I'm in the Dallas, Texas area.
Very nice. All right. So you made it through another work week, too, then. You're officially almost at the weekend.
Yes. Looking forward to it.
Very cool. So Barbara, again, welcome to the show. And why don't we get right into it? Tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, your background and what it is that you're here for and what you're doing.
Okay. I actually have a background. I was what they call a military brat. I grew up the first 10 years of my life. My dad was a colonel in the Army. He actually retired in El Paso, Texas, so most of my years were spent in Texas. And with my father's military career and also me being in the business world, I've moved many times, lived in Hawaii, Missouri, and Texas. And because of the moves, been in many houses, I actually had the opportunity to purchase my first home when I was 22 years of age, right out of college. So I've loved homes, always enjoyed them. So that's definitely fashioned where I've headed in the long run here today.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Yeah.
And so, Barbara, what exactly is it about real estate and realty that drives you?
I've always loved the industry, the fact that housing is always changing, the fact that I've owned 21 of my own homes. I've just appreciated the, you know, moving and moving into new homes. It's just kind of set the background for me that logically kind of went into my final career here. I was in the corporate world for many years, but always had the dream of being in real estate. So I was able to transition to that and have loved it ever since.
Very nice. Very cool. So is it dealing with people? Do you like that?
I absolutely love dealing with people. I'm a people person. I like to do things one-on-one. One of my goals always in working with people is to see what they're interested in, what they're looking for, and be able to meet those needs. That's a passion for me. It's something that I've grown up with as far as a mindset from my family, and I do love working with people and helping them buy a home. It's one of the most largest purchases that most people will make in their lifetime. So having a successful purchase is definitely a goal.
Very nice. So what are some of the things that people should really look out for when purchasing a home?
You know, a lot of it depends on the area where you are and where you are in the market. Right now, the market's in a boom cycle. I know in many areas of the country, and definitely in the Dallas area, the market is booming. And one thing that we're looking at right now that folks need to look for is really setting goals. What is it they're looking for? What is it that's most important to them? Because it's a fast-paced market right now, and, you know, there's always the expression, you snooze, you lose. So they really need to be focused on what is it that they want, you know, what are their goals in purchasing a home, where they want to live, close to work, close to kids, you know, events, sporting events, school. All of those things need to be decided first before they jump into the market, and because it's fast-paced and you kind of get drug along. So having clear goals is always important.
Now, have things picked up for the market on a whole? I mean, in your area at least?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I know in the Dallas area, we've got major corporations moving here and have moved here, and everything is definitely selling fast. They are growing homes as fast as they can. A lot of the builders here are just on steroids trying to get homes going, new ones. And then also it's really pretty wild here. There's low inventory because folks are buying them as fast as they can as they come on the market.
I'm sure.
So I know the Dallas area is great, but most of Texas, and I think a lot of the nation in general, has been in this boom, this housing boom that we're in right now, and that's usually a seven-year cycle.
Very nice. Now, as far as now young people, right? I mean, I'm fairly young, I'll say. I'm not going to divulge my age. I don't want to age myself yet. but you know, as far as young people go, right? Do you get a lot of people that are looking, you know, at a what you would think would be kind of a, you know, a young age, and you know, the difference between working with them as opposed to others who have the experience of purchasing homes?
Every person is different, and I love working with the young folks because they're new, they're fresh, and they're eager to learn. They're wanting to buy their first home. It's a thrill to get it. I always love working with young couples and trying to see what it is that they're looking for. A lot of it's education. If they haven't really spent much time, you know, moving or being in other homes, sometimes it's an education process for them. And so I do like working with young folks and making sure that they educate themselves on what's out there with through my help, and then also understanding what it is they need. There's the loan process that they have to learn. There's a lot of things out there that they have to kind of learn firsthand so that they can get a home that they'd love.
Certainly, yeah. Now, I mean, I got to ask too, when it comes to this, do you feel like there's a lot of unknown and, you know, a naive approach to it that a lot of young people kind of get into? They think, oh, I'm going to buy a house. But then, like you just mentioned, you know, there's a lot more that goes into it, right?
Yes, that's very important up front to kind of make sure that I level set with younger couples. They do have high goals. They want the nicest house for the least price, which everybody does.
Of course.
Understanding, you know, what's required for a down payment, how that affects the mortgage. There's a whole process there that has to be considered. And some of the younger folks have had some education there, some have not. So you just have to sit down and really talk to the folks and understand where they are in their process, and then help, you know, educate them as needed and make sure that we can meet their goals.
Absolutely. Now, does it ever become such a challenge for you that you think, you know, is this really worth my time? I mean, can you sense when somebody is just kind of shopping around and not so much, you know, ready to make that purchase?
You can. Sometimes, you know, people are shopping around, they're not going to make a purchase. You can't always tell up front, but you become fairly knowledgeable about it, you know, after a little while of looking at some homes. You don't want to waste their time. You want to make sure that they're getting what it is they need. And sometimes you just want to give them an education, and then they'll come back when they're ready.
Absolutely, sure. As far as the company that you work for now, what's the name of the realty company that you actually work for?
It's called Ebbe Halliday. It's one of the largest corporations, definitely in Texas.
Very nice.
Ebbe Halliday founded the company. She had been a hat maker in World War II, and one of her friends was a home builder, and he was building cookie cutter homes. And when the GIs came back from World War II, he didn't understand why they weren't buying the homes. And so Ebbe went over there as she individually made her hats. She worked with the builder to individualize the homes to meet the client's needs. And then that gave her the love of real estate. So she was in real estate for many, many years. She just passed away last year at 102 years old. So she was icon. And I love working in this company. She really set some high goals for the folks that work here.
That's incredible. And how long have you been there?
I've been here 2.5 years. Like I said, been in real estate on my own, you know, buying and selling my own homes over the years, but being an agent for the last 2.5 years.
Very nice. And so, Barbara, when it comes down to the biggest reason why to purchase a house or why not to purchase a house. What should people look out for?
Well, one of the reasons to purchase a house is it will be your biggest investment over time. And what you want to do is if you're going to invest that money, just as if you went into the stock market or anywhere, you want to make sure that you're putting money where you're going to achieve a gain. So
sure.
Location is important. What you're looking for as far as a house, as far as what will meet your needs, what your time frames are to be in that house. Are you going to raise a family there? Are you, depending on how old you are, is it somewhere you're going to retire where you want to have amenities, you want to have shopping close by? You really have to look and assess all your needs and where you are in your lifetime and what you need to do to achieve those goals.
And so now you said it's definitely picked up. Obviously, the market's good. It seems like the economy is getting a little better, especially in
We're in a seven-year boom cycle. The real estate market usually goes in kind of seven-year cycles, and we're definitely on the boom side. We've been into it for about a year and a half now down here, and other areas are opening up. Over the last year, I've seen other areas opening quickly as well.
That's great. That's really good. What is it about the industry now, though, that has changed? Has anything kind of changed in the last 15, 20 years?
Well, the internet, a lot of the social media that you have now, there's many more ways that clients and the folks you work with are educated today. It used to be that people ran around with books and looked at listings. It was a lot more of a paper environment. Now it's up to the minute notice. If you're not on Facebook, if you're not on the internet, you're going to snooze and lose in the real estate market. So it's a lot faster now. And with this lower inventory, you need to be fast in order to, find the homes and be able to look at them and make sure that you're meeting your clients' needs.
Very nice. How many clients do you typically have in a specific time frame? I mean, do you kind of work with a lot of different people at once or –
It's not my style. Different people have different ways of doing it. I prefer to work with no more than two or three people at one time because I like to make sure that I am balancing the needs. And, you definitely can wear yourself out, you and your clients, depending on how quickly that you're running around. So, again, it's different by agents, but for me, no more than two or three clients at one time to be able to provide the best service possible.
And what is it about service? Why is providing that service so important today?
Well, I don't know how to put this, but if you are careful in your business and you want to grow your business, the people that you have served well will remember you. I know when I was buying and selling my own houses before I became an agent, I would look at the agents that would help me the most, that I felt comfortable with, that I trusted, that didn't steer me wrong. Those are the ones you'll go back to. So it's important in building a business and building relationships, for the future.
Sure. Now, have you ever gotten to a particular property and said, I can't sell this?
That's a loaded question.
Mm-hmm.
There have been very interesting properties.
Right.
I think interesting is the word that I will choose to use.
Sure.
Some are more challenging than others. But over time, everything will sell at a price and through negotiation. It's just a matter of, working with a client ahead of time, especially if I'm on the seller's side. We go through an inventory of the home. What do you need to do? Do you need to clean it? Do you need to, spruce up the shrubs, the landscaping? There's ways to make homes presentable that anybody, put them in their best light so that folks can see what their value is there in the home.
Right.
So you spend a lot of time up front with the agent, the agent spends time up front working with a client to show the house the best it can be.
Is it a case of, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, because you know I'm not really sure what the boundaries are of what a realtor should do and can do. But if you do run into a situation like that, right, where you have a house that you know needs a lot of work and such, I mean, aside from recommending certain updates, I mean, is there anything physically that the realtor does in those situations?
The realtor does not physically do anything. Now, we have lists of vendors and people that we recommend that we know will do a quality job at a fair price if updates are needed to the house. Some of the clients that you have will not have the money to update the house. And in that case, what I recommend and what most agents will recommend is that you price the house accordingly. If it's going to need updates, then, you know, basically it'll be more attractive at a little bit lower price because folks are going to think about the fact that they're going to have to go in, maybe if it doesn't have granite countertops or something.
Right.
They're going to go through the house saying, well, I got to do this, I got to do this. Well, once I pay this, I can't afford it. So you look at pricing the house accordingly, whether it needs some updates that may or may not be able to be done.
Sure, absolutely. And do you, I mean, aside from recommendations, how easy is it to convince somebody to lower their asking price? You know, I mean, I'm sure people are pretty stubborn.
Well,
they want as much as they can.
Yeah, and they do. Everybody does. I mean, it's your house. You love it. You see the reason why you bought it to begin with. Those are things that they call, you know, what is it that you love? What is it that you want? You basically really, you know, you have to build a trust with your client, first of all. You definitely don't want to tell them, well, I'm sorry, you have an ugly house. You can't get that much. I mean, you don't want to be blunt. That's not something that anybody wants to hear, but you need to make sure that you can point out some areas that may be a concern, you know, to a buyer. And then they can assess whether they can do anything about it or if they can't or if they would be, you know, more flexible that, you know, if a price point would help. You talk with and work with your clients to make sure that they're happy, that you feel like, you know, the house is in the best possible view from all perspectives so that it will sell. The worst thing
right.
you want to do is have a house sit on the market. It's not good for it to sit there.
Sure. Now, explain that to me, and not even just to me, but I think a lot of people out there probably don't understand that, you know, there might be a reason that it looks bad. Why does it look so bad?
Well, and it's not even physically always that the house looks bad. It could be bumped up next to a major highway. It could be, you know, there's other pending things. Now, as far as looking bad, that's in the eyes of the beholder. So I wouldn't say that any house looks bad. I would say that some houses need a little more love and care than others. you know, pointing out some of that, there may be the one thing that will happen in every transaction is you're going to have inspections. So at a minimum, what I recommend to my clients to avoid any issues in the back end is to have an inspection of their house before they even put it on the market. That can avoid a lot of trouble in the long run. If you have, you know, a toilet that's not working or a hot water heater that's going to go out, you can get those things fixed ahead of time, and then it goes on the seller's disclosure that, hey, you've got a new water heater, you've got this or whatever. So the folks that are looking at your house are going to feel more comfortable to buy it knowing that you've taken care of, you know, any of those kind of issues.
Absolutely, yeah. I, you know, for me, I know my wife and I are in that position where we have our first house and we're, you know, we're starting a family. We have a son and we're thinking that the house might be too small for growing a family, right?
Right.
But it's always that idea of how do you kind of justify what your selling price would be and then how to kind of, you know, ideally spend it on the next house, you know? It's a balancing act, I feel like, to have a house and then to think, how do I buy the next house that's going to be a little bigger and more affordable, you know?
Right. Well, first of all, of course, a lot of what you can afford is going to be dependent on the income that you and your wife would have.
Right.
You know, that's something you work through with a mortgage lender. If you're looking to go you know, and buying a larger home, first of all, for instance, if you have like a two-bedroom house now and you have, I know you said one child, you may want more. Mm-hmm. You know, typically a lot of families will buy a three- or a four-bedroom house that will accommodate children. So you have to look at what size is your house now, where do you want to go from a growth perspective, and then where do you want to live? Do you want to be close to your work? Do you want to be close to shopping, a combination of it? A lot of the house prices is also determined on location.
Right.
And, you know, there's goals that you have, areas there that you have to consider. But definitely getting a quote, a range of what your house may sell for is a good first step to give you some kind of background on what to use, on what you might be able to make. Again, even though you're selling your house, you also have a mortgage, so you're not going to, you know, if you're going to sell a house for $300,000, you're not going to get $300,000. If you have a,
right,
you know, a $200,000 mortgage, you've got to subtract, you know, what's there to know what money you'll have for a down payment for your new house. So that's
and
a key factor.
That,
it's a lot of it's financial.
Right, and I think a lot of people definitely overlook that. Right, I mean, it's like you said with when it comes to. It's the idea of buying a house is one thing. It's the responsibility once you have that house.
Mm-hmm. That's true. There's a lot of responsibility with a home.
Sure. Yeah. I mean,
you're
well,
responsible.
Yeah.
It's not like you have a landlord that's going to fix your toilet for you. You're either going
right.
to fix it or you're going to find somebody to fix it. Yes.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. So as we come to you know, the final 10 minutes or so of this show, I'm curious to know from your perspective. I know you said the location. Now, what is it about the location that's important?
Well, again, it's client specific. If
mm-hmm.
a client does not want to drive more than 10 minutes to get to work, then location is important to them. If the client doesn't mind being in a big city and driving an hour in rush hour traffic, then you know, there might be more flexibility as far as areas of where to live. So a lot of it is just the needs, what your personal needs are. Do you want to be close to work? Do you want to be close to schools? A lot of folks will determine where they want to live based on the school districts and what kind of education will their children get that's not a private school. A lot of folks can't
uh-huh.
afford private schools, so they'll look for the best schools they can get in an independent you know, school district. So there's lots of factors. And typically the agents, you know, will have a first meeting and they'll sit down and they'll talk about what is it your long-term goals are, what is it that you have available as far as down payments. Have you talked to a mortgage person? Because you really don't want to go out looking for a home until you really understand what your financials are so that you're be in a position that if you see something, you know, you can act then and try to get that home. Because if you wait on some time waiting for getting a mortgage approval, you might miss the house, especially in the Dallas market. I'm sure there's other markets that may not be quite as fast, but here we highly recommend that they have their bases covered, you know, knowing what they can afford and what their loan will be and that kind of thing.
Sure.
So that they can be ready to purchase.
Absolutely. And now, what is it that you love most about your job?
I'm a very people person, and I love helping people. That's I've been in a lot of different organizations helping people doing things, and it's just a passion that I have. Helping a young couple find a home is very rewarding for me. Helping an older couple leave their home in a gentle transition. I have an SRES certificate. That's for the senior real estate specialist. There's a lot of things you have to consider for seniors in moving. A lot of them, you know, they're having to move into maybe assisted living or something. And so there's a challenge there. And you really, really need to love people, you know, to be in a real estate market and want to help them the best you can. It's just, I call it a service reward. You're rewarded for helping people.
So you do feel that it is a very rewarding job, though.
I do. That's one of the reasons why I left the corporate world. I was in the corporate world for many years. It was a great, it was a steady salary, you know, and that kind of thing. But I always felt better working with people one-on-one and, you know, helping them with their goals. That's just been a personal goal of mine, is to help others for a long time.
Very nice. And so you don't ever get frustrated with it? It's, you know, because dealing with people all day long can be rough. I know that. Do you ever hit a point where
you
say, oh.
Well, I wouldn't be human if I didn't say, okay, you know, I've had it for the day. No, it happens. It's part
sure.
of the job. It's something that you go with. It's, you know, you learn to have ways to cope with it. I'm not a heavy drinker, so I don't take care of it that way. So, you know, I do a lot of walking and, you know,
right.
exercising, and that helps. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, but, yeah, there's always going to be challenges no matter what you do in the real estate market. But I love people and I love working with them. And what's most rewarding to me is when I can find the crankiest person around and turn them around. I love that. Where they actually will feel happy about buying a home.
Sure. That's a good challenge, right?
Yep.
Now, what do you think it is that makes people kind of cranky about buying a home? Is it just the spending of the money?
It's a combination of things. It's stressful. Buying a home, mm-hmm. people, you know, if you're not in the middle of doing it, you can fantasize that it's easy and, oh, it's wonderful, I'm going to buy this home. When you actually get into the home buying process, it's work. You know, you may get frustrated because you can't find what you're looking for, because at the time you're looking on the market, you know, the kind of house you're looking for may not be available. It can be challenging. So you definitely need to go into it with your eyes open that, you know, that you may not be able to find what you want now and you may have to wait, or if you need to be moving at a certain point, there may be some things that you need to compromise on that you may not have in the house, or you can add later, something like that. So there's always a challenge, depending on the time of the market, what your needs are, what's available, and what you can feel happy with in the end.
Very nice. And really, with your skills and experience, what would you say to somebody that's just now getting into real estate? Do you have any advice for people looking to start a career here?
Oh, yes. I tell them to be patient. There's new agents in our office all the time. They appreciate other agents in the office that have experience, and if they're willing to listen, I'm more than willing to help share experiences with them. Most of the agents in my office are very helpful. You know, we help new agents because it's a learning curve for everybody. And they may run into something that the more experienced agents haven't run into, and everybody learns. So it's you learn something new every day. That's one of the reasons why I love this business, is it's never the same thing twice.
Right.
Always interesting.
And it keeps... Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it certainly doesn't have a mundane atmosphere.
Yeah, it's not doing the same thing over and over and over, because the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different
That's right.
result.
That is correct. Well, Barbara, I want to thank you for coming on to the show today. Unfortunately, we are running out of time. We would love to hear from you again. If, you know, you have anything else down the road, we'd love to come back on. Why don't you tell people a good way to get in touch with you real quick?
All right. Definitely, if you're coming to the Dallas area, the best way to reach me is my cell phone. Is it okay to say that on the air? I don't
Absolutely,
know.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that's
sure.
okay.
Absolutely.
It's 469-503-1060, and I would look forward to any calls in the Dallas area. If someone's coming to move, I'd be happy to work with them. And I appreciate your time, Rob. I've enjoyed the talk today.
All right. Well, thank you again, Barbara. We appreciate your time as well. And please come back again soon when you have the chance. And have a great weekend,
All right.
okay?
Thank you. You too.
All righty. Well, from everybody here at CMC Radio, this is Rob May saying we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a great weekend.